1 Samuel 21. We're going to look at chapter 21 and 22, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's just too much content there. But 1 Samuel 21 is where we're going to start. You know, when troubles come our way, some people panic. Some people cry. Some people get angry. Some people worry. Sometimes people blame each other. Other times people hide or they run away. But you know what we really need to do when troubles come our way is we need to run to the Lord for help. That's what we need to do. We don't always do that. We don't always think of that first, but that's what we need to do. We need to run to the Lord for help and then fully obey and trust Him to help us through the problems. That's the right thing to do when troubles come. All right, and tonight we're going to be looking at a time when troubles started coming in David's life. David had a lot of problems already, but now the troubles are really starting to pile up in his life. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And in his heart, he loved God and was not too proud to admit it when he failed and to get right with God. But David didn't always make right choices. David was a human. He sometimes made wrong choices. And tonight we're going to see some examples of some of the wrong choices and right choice that David made. And as we look at these things, I want us to learn beneficial principles from this. You know, anytime you read the Bible, look for principles. Don't just look at the story. You know, many people know the Bible stories, but they know nothing about the principles we can learn from the stories. And if you just know the story without the principles, it hasn't really done you much good except fill your head with some knowledge. But we need to know the principles that can help us to know how to react to troubles. Number one I want us to notice here tonight is that David reacted to his troubles by deceiving Ahimelech the priest. Look at chapter 21, verse number 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou come, and no man with thee? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of thy business, whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what is present, there is present. And the priest said unto David, priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from the women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels and the young men are holy, and the bread in them is in a manner common, yea, though it be sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there is no bread there but the show bread that was taken from the before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand a spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, take it, for there is no other save that. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. And David rose and fled and that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, as we think about this, a couple of things I want us to notice. First of all, David was in Nob. Now, if you look on our map here, I don't have the little towns on our map, but I can kind of show you where they're at. All right, David grew up in Bethlehem. Jerusalem's north of this. And he had been up here a little bit north of Jerusalem is where he'd been staying in Ramah with Samuel. All right, and then Nob is just a little bit below Ramah. All right, so it's kind of north of Jerusalem, not very far away at all, just a few kilometers at the most. Wasn't very far away. And so he went to Nob, and it was there at Nob that evidently they had the tabernacle of some sort set up there, and that was where the priest was. And he had the showbread. Remember, they put the showbread on the table. Every day they would put loaves of showbread out on the table. Now, these loaves of bread weren't like fluffy big loaves. They were flat loaves because they had no leaven in them. There were loaves that they would lay on the... They were more like Lebanese bread, you know, flat ones. Laid out on the showbread table for... because of the commandments of the Lord. God told him to do that. So that's what it was. And David went there to try to find some food. Now, he deceives Ahimelech. Instead of telling him the truth, he lied to him. He made up this story about how the king had sent him on business and that he had to go quickly, and so he didn't have any time to take supplies, and he needed some food, and he started lying to Ahimelech. Now, Ahimelech was afraid when he saw David, and that he trembled there when he saw David. The literal translation of it would say that he went trembling to meet David. He was scared. Now, why would Ahimelech be afraid? Well, probably because Ahimelech had heard that David and King Saul weren't getting along real well. And all of a sudden, David shows up by himself. And he's thinking, I wonder if David's hiding on the king. And if I help David, the king might be after my hide. But David makes up this lie and tells him this lie that, you know, that he's on this mission from the king, and he deceives him. Now, instead of trusting God, David lied to him. He should have trusted God. That's the right thing to do. He should have just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Guide me. Give me wisdom. Help me to be able to find some food, to be able to provide for myself. But instead he does this. This is wrong. Now, you know, a lot of times the devil tries to get us to lie, to hide the truth. David tells three lies here to Ahimelech. First of all, he lies to him to hide his exile. His exile means that he was running from the king. All right, exile means to be kicked out of the home, or you're running from home. All right, and he was exiled from the king. King said, I'm going to get you. You better, you know, I'm going to kill you, David, because you are, I don't like you anymore. And the main reason was he was jealous of David. And so David lies about that. He tells him he's on this special mission, and he wasn't. And then he lied the second time to get food. In verse number 5, he lied to him and said that he had kept himself holy and that they hadn't been with the women and all this kind of stuff. None of that stuff was true. He was just lying to the king, to Ahimelech, the priest, to be able to get this bread. And then again, he lied to him again about the sword. He said that he had to leave home fast and couldn't bring any of his weapons with him, and the king's mission was a real secret, top secret mission, and he had to hurry. All that was lies. Now, David deceived him and lied to him. You know, David got into this slippery slope of lying. You ever seen that happen in your life? I mean, we've all done wrong. We've all told lies. But you know, when you tell one lie, you usually have to tell another lie to cover up the first lie. And then a lot of times there's another one that you have to tell in order to cover up those two. And you just, it builds. It's like sliding on a slippery hill. You just can't stop. Once you get going, you just keep on lying. And it seems like that's what was happening to David here. It was difficult for him to stop lying because he started the wrong thing instead of trusting God. You know, God tells us in the Bible, in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9, he says, lie not one to another. Now, that's pretty clear. Lie not one to another. God doesn't want us to lie. He wants us to tell the truth. David made a choice to lie instead of tell the truth. That was not a good choice. And, you know, the devil often tries to get us to think that lying's not going to hurt anybody. It's just a little tiny thing. It's no big deal. It won't be any big. And David probably thought the same thing. That, well, I've got to get some food, and I'll tell a little bit of a lie here, and it's not going to hurt anybody, and it'll be okay. But we find out as we continue on to the story that it wasn't just a harmless little lie. It was a major lie that caused major problems. Major, major problems. And David, first of all, knew that he had lied. There's no question about that. He knew he'd done wrong. And God knew that David had lied. You know, we may think that we're going to hide our lies from people, but God sees it all. We read over in Psalm 44:21, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knows the very secrets of my heart. He knows the secrets of your heart. We can't hide from God. So if we tell a lie, God knows we told a lie. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. An abomination is something that is disgusting to God. It's something that God can't stand. And He says, lying lips are an abomination to God. God doesn't like it when we lie. And He says that displeases Him. So God knew that David lied. David in his own conscience knew that he lied. Look down at verse number 22. Chapter 22, verse 22. And David said to Ahimelech, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. See, David immediately knew. He said, I knew that day when Doeg was there that he was going to tell on me for lying. See, it had been bothering David's conscience. He knew that he had lied. He knew that he had done wrong. And a few days later, we don't know exactly how long it was. It may have been a few weeks. I'm not sure. But sometime not very long afterwards, David's lie cost the life of Ahimelech and all of his family. Look down with me in verse number 12 of chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse number 12. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here am I, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have you conspired against me, thou and thy the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, and that he should rise up against me and lie in wait as at this day? And Ahimelech, this is that priest again that David lied to, Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thy house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto thy servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all of this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because they have their hand is with David, because they knew that he fled and did not show it unto me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said unto Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear the linen ephod. 85, that's 85 people that wore the linen ephod. They were all priests. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, oxen, ass, and sheep, with the edge of the sword. So David's little lie ended up killing over 85 people and all their property because he told a lie. You know, it's very likely that when we tell lies that that's not going to cause 85 people to die. But it shows us the seriousness of lying and how serious it can be. David cost the lives of at least 85 people, plus all the women and children, because of his lie. Anytime we lie to someone, someone's going to get hurt. Even if it doesn't hurt anybody else, it hurts our relationship with God, because God knows we lied. And we're not doing right before God. So we need to be very careful not to tell lies. Now, find also that next David reacted to his troubles by fleeing to Achish, the Philistine. All right, look at verse 10 of chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse number 10. And David rose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. All right, look at our map again. All right, don't have Gath on here again, but Gath is over here near, this is all the Philistine area over here. So Gath is over in this area here near the Philistines. And David fled from where he was there, and he went over there to the Philistines. Now, the Philistines, they were not the best buddies. Remember the Philistines? They were the enemy. And not only that, But you know, you think, David, what is wrong with your head? Why would you go to the Philistines, especially to Gath? Now, let's do some thinking about what we know about Gath. All right. A few years earlier, David had killed Goliath. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17, verse number 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. So David goes to Goliath's hometown. I mean, if you're going to go to the enemy's camp, why go there? I mean, that would be kind of the last place I would choose. I mean, because certainly some of his family might be thinking, isn't that the kid that killed our big brother Goliath? I mean, you'd think somebody would kind of figure him out. Why would he go there? We don't know why David went there. The Bible doesn't tell us why he went there, but he chose to go to the enemies to try to hide. He thought, you know, if I hide over in the enemy's camp, then Saul will leave me alone. Many times when we are emotionally upset, we do not think clearly. That's true. You know, you think about times when you've had emotional times in your life where you've been upset about something and you made a decision. Almost always the decision's wrong. They're bad decisions we make when we're emotionally upset. We make foolish choices. And if you're going through troubles and you're emotionally upset, you're in no condition to make a good choice. So, those are times you need to remember. Don't make choices when you're upset. Don't. Just settle down, calm down, pray about it, and settle yourself down before you make any choices. Because it's a very dangerous time. You know, that's why many times when a woman's husband dies, and she's very emotionally upset, and rightly so, many women have made very foolish choices financially right after their husband died. And crooks come along and they trick them into buying this or selling this or doing something else. And they're so emotionally shook up, they just say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And they've wasted a lot of money and done foolish things because they're all shook up when they made the decision. So don't make decisions when you're emotionally shook up. Very foolish time to make big choices. And we find in the Bible examples of other people that went to the unbelievers for help. It wasn't a wise thing for him to go to the unbelievers. Let me just give you a few examples. We've talked a little bit tonight about Abram. Abram, when he went to Egypt during the famine, while he was in Egypt, what did he do? Well, he lied about his wife, said, she's my sister. And it's very likely that it's in Egypt that he got his handmaid Hagar. The woman that ended up becoming his second wife and causing all the trouble that has been caused by that. Abram's choice wasn't a good choice, but he was acting on his impulses during a time of trouble. We find also Elimelech and Naomi. Elimelech and Naomi in the book of Ruth. Elimelech and Naomi lived in Bethlehem. And they said, there's a famine in the land. We're going to go to Moab to get away from the famine. And they went over to Moab. Moab was down over here. And they came over to Moab, the other side of the Dead Sea, and settled in there to try to get away from the famine. But was it a good time for them? No. A few years later, Elimelech died. A year or so later, their two boys died. And Naomi's left by herself with the two wives of her sons, which were Moabites, Ruth and Orpah. Wasn't a good time for them. Made a decision at a wrong time, during trouble times. Let's get away. Let's run away from our troubles. Doesn't work. Not a good time to be making major decisions in our life. Another example, King Asa, one of the kings of Judah. Asa relied upon the Syrians to help him in military battle instead of relying on the Lord. Now, Asa was a good king. He was a good king overall, but Asa made a wrong choice. The enemy was building up their armies, and he's thinking, boy, I need help. We're going to get beaten. What am I going to do? Instead of going to God and praying about it, he contacted the king of Syria and said, would you come and help me? Here's a whole bunch of money. And he takes gold and all the gold that he could find in Jerusalem and he gives it to him and says, come and help me. And they won the battle. And he thought, oh, good. And God said, Asa, you may have won the battle, but you lost your blessing. And because you didn't trust in me, Asa, you're going to be sick the rest of your life. And Asa kind of got angry with God and didn't live the way he should from that point on. And he had wars and sickness the rest of his life because he didn't trust in God. Another example, one that you're more familiar with perhaps, Jonah. Jonah, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach to the people. Now Jonah lived somewhere down in Israel, and Nineveh was way up yonder over here somewhere, a long, long ways away. But Nineveh was a place that was the enemy. They had come down and attacked Israel and killed a lot of the people, and Nineveh wasn't a nice place. And Jonah knew that, and he says, nope, I'm not going to do that, God, and I'm going to run away. And instead of going over there, Jonah gets in a boat and he heads over towards Spain, way over here, to get away from God's call. And he disobeyed God. Well, we know what happened to Jonah. Big storm on the sea, swallowed by fish. Finally, Jonah gets vomited out on shore, and Jonah says, okay, I'll be. I'll go. And he goes up to Nineveh. But you know, in every one of these examples, they made a major decision in their life during a time of trial. And they make the wrong one. So if you're going through a trial and a trouble in your life, the best thing to do is not make any major decision. Spend the time praying. Seek counsel. Ask for advice and godly counsel and wisdom, but don't make a major decision in your life, because many times you'll make the wrong one and it'll get you into big trouble. Especially if you try to go to the heathen to get help. If you go to the unsaved people for help, they'll lead you the wrong direction. And that's what these people did. They went the wrong place. And each of these examples made unwise decisions. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God says, trust me, I'll direct you. Lean on me, and you'll do right. Now, David foolishly made this choice, and this choice almost cost him his life. And he had to do some fast thinking, a bit of deceit as well, to save his life. He gets down there, and notice verse number 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David, the king of the land? Now notice that they called him the king of the land. Now he wasn't the king yet, but they knew that everybody loved him and that he was going to be the next king. News had spread fast. They said, isn't that this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another in dances, saying, Saul has slain 1,000 and David is 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the door of the gate, and let the spittle fall down upon his beard. And Achish then said Achish unto his servants, lo, see, this man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David, he sees himself in a bad situation. And so he starts acting like he's nuts. And he's scratching his nose. And he's letting his spit run down his face and his tongue hanging out. And he's acting like a madman. He's acting weird. And I said, he's a lunatic. Get him out of here. And they sent him away, and David goes, whew, that was a close one. All right. Now, again, David has to resort to deceit to get himself out of a mess that he got into because he didn't follow God. He didn't say, Lord, do you want me to go down to Gath? And we don't find anywhere that he prayed about any of this stuff. He just did it because he was afraid. Made a major decision at the wrong time and made a wrong decision. You know, David was not being prudent. He was not being prudent. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. If we're prudent, careful, we're going to be very cautious before we jump into something. Prudent man foresees the evil, Proverbs 22:3. Not only that, but Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When we fear people instead of fearing God, it brings a snare, a trap. And it'll trap us because we're trusting people or we're afraid of people and responding to what people do instead of saying, God, I want you to lead my life. Give me direction. So David has made two pretty major mistakes. The first one cost the life of at least 85 people. The second one almost cost him his life. But we find then that David makes a good decision. He follows the counsel of Gad the prophet. Chapter 22 and verse number 5. But before we get to 22:5, let's start out with verse number 1. And we find here that David may have, and we don't have any proof of this, but he may have received some good counsel from family and friends. Right? And here's why I believe that. Verse number 1, chapter 22, says, and David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. Right, now let's stop there for a moment. Adullam, best I can calculate, Adullam was further over to the west, over here, kind of between the Bethlehem and where Gath was. It was over in this area over in here. All right, so he finds a place over there in Adullam. He finds a cave there in Adullam. And when his brethren and his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone, all right, now let's stop there for a moment. David's brothers and his family, all of them, went to join him. Why would they do that? Well, the reason is because now David is the wanted man. King Saul, he's got all his posters around. Wanted, dead or alive. David, the son of Jesse. You know, everybody knows David's to be a dead man. Well, with that kind of a warning, one of the first places that Saul would go to interrogate would be the family. You can just imagine Saul's servants coming to Jesse's house. Where's David? We don't know. We don't know. You better tell us or we'll kill you. You know, I mean, you can just imagine what would happen. All of his family was under threat now. Remember, three of David's big brothers had been in the army. Evidently, they said, we're out of here. They skipped out of the army and took off to join David as well because they were being threatened. Because you're his brother. Come on, tell us where he is. We don't know. And so they're under persecution and threat. So all of David's family leaves and they go to find David. They found him in Adullam and they're all hiding out in Adullam. So they have to leave the family home, probably just deserted the place and went off to live in a cave to protect their lives. And so David and his family are out there in the cave. But not only that, we see in the next verse, and everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, as we look at this, on the surface it looks like, well, all these bad people joined up with David. People that were distressed, people that were in debt, people that were discontented. But you know, there's another way of looking at it. All of these people that joined up with David did so for a reason. They all had a common problem. Saul didn't like them. Saul didn't like them. Why didn't Saul like them? Well, some of them, this is my guess as we look at this, it says they were distressed. It was probably because Saul was putting pressure on them. They were persecuted by Saul. Maybe there were people that knew David. Maybe there were people that were somewhat friends. And you better tell us where he is or we're gonna burn down your house. We're gonna cause you problems. You better tell us. And so they're being persecuted. So they were those that were under, as he says here, they were distressed. Those that were in debt. Saul, being the king, he had put a lot of taxation on the people to help pay for the military expenses and other things in his palace. And there were probably some people that were owing back taxes. They couldn't keep up because Saul's heavy taxes. And so Saul didn't like them either. So they thought, well, we'll go join David. Saul doesn't like us. We'll get over there and join him. This is, again, my guess. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why they were distressed or why they're in debt, but it makes sense if you think about it. Then it says that there were others that were discontented. Now that makes pretty good sense. They were discontented. They were saying, listen, Saul is not being the king he used to be. Saul is not a godly king. He is causing nothing but trouble. He's fighting against David, who hasn't done a thing wrong. He's losing our battles for us. He's ignoring the kingdom. He's just not the king we ought to be. Let's go join David. So David gets these 400 men and their families. They come over to join him. Now it's not just David. It's David and all of his family and these 400 men and their families joined him there in Adullam, in this cave. Must have been a big cave. All right. And so they're there in this cave and they're camping out there. And during this time, then, we find in verse 3 that David got thinking again. And again, he may have gotten advice from his family, may have gotten advice from his friends, but he decides to take mom and dad over to Moab to keep him in safety. So he took his mom and dad over to Moab. Now remember, Moab's on the other side of the Dead Sea. So he took them from there. Maybe he went down below or over top, I'm not sure. But he went over to the other side of the Dead Sea to Moab. And he talked to the king there and said, would you keep mom and dad because they're in danger? And so that's fine. They stayed over there. And apparently, while they were still there, David may have spent some time there. Maybe he took his whole troop there. It kind of looks like the whole group of them went over there. And it says in verse number 5, that the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came forth to Harith. All right, now, he says, get back into Judah. Well, it sounds like this must have happened while they're over in Moab and stay in there for protection. And he says, no, I don't want you over here. I want you in Judah. I don't want you in the enemy's territory. I don't want you in the neighboring country. I want you back home in your own homeland so that you can be a leader among your people. You're going to be the next king. You need to be with your people. And so he sent him back to Judah to be back home with his people. Now, as we think about this, David, he may have received this counsel, some of the counsel from godly friends. Now, Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21 says, there are many devices or thoughts in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. For by another one, Proverbs 24 verse 6 says, for by wise counsel shalt thou make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. See, when David now has 400 people plus his family there, he's able to seek some other counsel. He doesn't have to make all the decisions himself. And my thinking is he probably was getting some advice from these older people that were with him, his other family members and his other friends, and they were saying, listen, let's just think about this and let's make some logical decisions of what we ought to do. So David's getting some godly advice. But then also we saw in verse 5 that Gad the prophet gave David some counsel. He says, I don't want you to abide here. I want you to abide back in Judah. Go back to Judah. All right, so now David obeys him and does what he's told, and he comes back over here, and the place he stays again is over here somewhere near where he had been before, near Adullam. All right, so they came back over there as God told him to do. And David stays there with him, and it's not too far from the place called Keilah, and we're going to be seeing more about that in the future. Now, one of the things for us to remember is this. The safest place for any Christian is in the center of God's will. You know, I remember a preacher saying that when I was in Bible college, and I was thinking about going to the mission field. I was thinking about going to New Guinea, being a missionary. And there was some thoughts in my heart that, you know, there's probably a lot of dangers there. You know, it's a long ways away from home and out in the jungle. But you know, the preacher said the safest place for any Christian is in the center of God's will. If you're doing exactly what you know God wants you to do, you got nothing to fear. Because nothing's going to happen to you that God doesn't want to happen to you. If you get sick, then that's fine because that's what God wanted. It'll be good for you. You'll learn something beneficial. If you happen to die in that situation, then God will be glorified because you're doing what God wants you to do. But if you stay home, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to the mission field because I'm over there. You know, I might get sick and it might be dangerous and all these problems. And you stay home, you could die in a car accident tomorrow. I mean, God's in control. And the safest place for us to be is in the center of God's will. So we need to make sure that we focus on trying to stay in the center of God's will for our life. And God will never lead us contrary to the clear teachings of the Bible. He'll never lead you contrary to the clear teachings of the Bible. So we need to follow the Bible. Now, when troubles come. The best thing you can do is follow the victory steps in James 4. Remember those victory steps? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So what we need to do, first of all, when a trouble comes, we need to get close to God. Get close to God. Before you make any decisions, make sure your heart is close to God. Seek God's will. Draw close to God before you make any decisions in your life. And then we need to seek God's will for our life and say, God, show me your way. We need to pray like David prayed later on in Psalm 86, verse 11, where he said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He said, God, if you teach me your way, I will walk in your truth. Sometimes we pray more like, God, show me your way, and if I like it, I'll go there. God says, no, we need to be more like David. That teach me that way. I will walk in your truth. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Unite my heart to fear your name. And so that ought to be the passion and prayer of our hearts. Following the counsel of the Lord is the very best thing we can do in our life. And oftentimes the problem is not that we don't know what God wants us to do, but that we don't do what God wants us to do. It's not so much we don't know what he wants, but we don't do it. God wants us to be obedient. And so we need to be faithful to the Lord and obedient to him. James chapter 1, verse number 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1, 22. He says, be doers, not hearers, deceiving your own selves. And so God wants us to trust him during our trials. David was not the best example to us. He lied. He deceived. Many people lost their lives because of his lie, and he almost lost his life because of his foolishness in going to the enemy camp to try to get help. But then he started getting wise, and he followed some wise advice from probably his family and friends, but also from the prophet Gad. And it said, you need to follow the Lord. And from that point on in his life, David seems to be following God's will instead of his will as he fled from Saul. And it's important for us to learn from David's examples. We can learn from the good and from the bad. And the most important thing is to let God's word and the principles of the Bible be our guide. So let's ask God to help us to do that tonight.